right, everybody, and we are going to conclude this week's corporate updates with good news out of Nucor Gold. Nucor ended the day today up nearly 18%, which is great news, after publishing their updated preliminary economic assessment for the Enshi Gold Project in Ghana this morning, using the, I guess you can now say, conservative base case of $1,850 per ounce of gold. Its pre-tax NPV with a 5% discount set at $586 million and now has a 77% internal rate of return. Here to provide his commentary and editorial comments is CEO Luke Alexander. Hey, Luke, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Trevor.
Yeah, big news, important day today for the get this updated. You know, let's kind of, there's a lot to kind of take in here, but let's start genuinely. 2021, you published the original PEA. What's different this go around?
Yeah, a number of things are different. We've obviously increased the overall production profile of the project by about 36%. So if you look at our 2021 PEA, we increased it from about 89,000 ounces to this updated PEA, 122,000 ounces. So larger overall production profile. Obviously, the industry's seen a lot of cost inflation over the last number of years. So we've incorporated 2024 costs into the PEA. So from a CapEx perspective, we're looking at about $106 million of initial capital. That includes a 20% contingency. And we've obviously grown the overall NPV of the project. So if you look at the 2021 PEA, we had about a $300 million NPV. And this one, we've got a $371 million NPV after tax and an after tax IRR of about 58%. So we've got a larger overall project, larger production profile, and an increased NPV. And as you highlighted, that's all at an $1,850 gold price.
All right, so do it today. Luke, what is today's gold price look like?
Yeah, so let's say today at $2,350 gold, and we've outlined some of these numbers in the press release, and I'd encourage people to go have a look at that press release. We've put a huge amount of detail in there, a lot of sensitivity analysis from an OPEX, CAPEX, gold price perspective. But, you know, specifically on gold, if we look at the project at a $2,350 gold price, you're looking at an after-tax NPV of $630 million and an after-tax IRR of roughly 92%. So obviously those are extremely attractive metrics for a project that, again, only cost $106 million to initially build. So I'm not surprised by the response that we've seen in the market and the fact that, you know, we've traded over 2 million shares. So the move up that you've highlighted at the start of this episode is on the back of big volume as well, which is always a good sign. And I think there's a lot of room for the company to run from here. You know, on a number of different metrics, we are still trading at very depressed levels. And my view is that there's a real disconnect in the market between what we've outlined within this PEA in terms of the fundamental value of the project, represented by the NPV, the IRR, the payback period we haven't talked about is 1.6 years. So all of those are the fundamental value of the project. And you've got our stock, which, you know, as of yesterday was trading at about $35 million Canadian. So a big disconnect between where the stock price is today and the value of the project. And I think ultimately we're going to start to see a real re-rating happening over time as the market starts to price in, you know, the economics of the project.
Yeah. Luke, question for you. I haven't read a whole lot of PEAs in the last 2 months since we've had this massive run in the gold price. What was the conversation like internally as far as keeping that base case situation at 1850? Knowing that there's a $500 discrepancy between that and the current spot price. I mean, yeah, so is that 1850? Could there be an argument that it was too conservative?
Yeah, I mean, there can always be an argument that that we're being too conservative. But again, when you look at our market cap today, you know, compared to the NPV of the project, you know, we don't need to be overly aggressive. Where you start to see companies get overly aggressive is when they're trying to backfill, you know, value for those companies. You know, so if you look at that 1850 gold price, you know, a number of the studies that have come out over the last 6 months are in and around $1,800, $1,900. When you look at, you know, some of the analyst expectations from last year, you know, they were in those ranges. So all of those things go into how we come up with the price and how Lycopodium, our consultants, come up with the price used as a base case. But obviously, again, within the PEA, you'll see a lot of sensitivity analysis in there. So, you know, your listeners and you can go in and we've got a table that shows the project at a 1950, 2050, 2350 price. So you can pick your own gold price and then, you know, back calculate. Well, actually not even back calculate. You'll see all of the valuation and economics at those different gold prices within the press release.
I do want to ask you about the cost. I mean, just over $100 million to get this thing. That's the initial capex to get Enshi built with what you're working with today. Luke, you've been in investment banking. You also know that you have to walk, kind of be mindful of the market cap, the valuation of the company, based on the cost to get these projects constructed up into production. And sometimes there's a huge disconnect between those two data points. But with the $35 million market cap company, with $100 million CapEx, that seems something reasonable and something we really haven't seen much of in this sector. Is that, would you agree if I was sitting here talking to Luke Alexander, the banker?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, that's a lot of the feedback we've had from bankers this morning, from some of our major investors, from the street is, you know, this is a project that's very manageable for a company of our size. You know, $100 million or $106 million of CapEx. I mean, if you were looking to fund that 50% debt, 50% equity, that's obviously something that can be accomplished by a company of our size. When I look at a number of the other projects out there, you're looking at, you know, $300-$500 million capexes. For most of those types of projects, you really need a mid cap or major to build it. One of the things that we looked at internally and spent a lot of time on, and I think the street is really recognizing this, is, you know, at a $370 million after-tax NPV compared to a $106 million initial capital, which I got to highlight does include a 20% contingency, that is a, you know, 3.5 to 1 NPV to CapEx ratio. When, you know, you start to look at other projects out there, and I would encourage you or any of your listeners to go find another project that has that kind of NPV to CapEx ratio, and it'll be very difficult to find. So that's one of the things that's really attractive about this project, is very low CapEx for a big NPV. The IRR as well at 58% at an 1850 gold price. That's in a very attractive IRR, and obviously less than a two-year payback at 1.6 years. I mean, these types of projects are incredibly difficult to find. And the great thing about it is we're not talking about 50 or 60,000 ounces of production. We're talking about a project that produces 122,000 ounces over a nine-year mine life with, obviously, district-scale exploration to grow beyond that. All of our deposits remain open along strike as well as at depth. So you see a nine-year mine life today, but we are extremely confident that, obviously, with additional exploration, we will, we will grow that over time. So that's obviously something that we're very excited about.
Let's talk about potential margins in your production profile. Your operating costs and your cash cost estimates are sub $1,000 per ounce. Your all in is just $18 over $1,000, but we'll call it $1,000 even. How does this compare to your peers in the same area of development?
So one of the great things about our project is it's a heap leach project. So, and I probably should have mentioned this when it comes to initial capital as well. So heap leach projects, as you and a lot of your or most of your listeners will probably know, are much lower CapEx to bring into production. They're also, lower CapEx to run, lower OpEx to run once they are into production. So for our project, we're looking at a cash cost, an operating cost of $800, a little over $800. We're looking at a cash cost of $934 and an all-in sustaining cost of just over $1,000, $1,018. So again, heap leach projects, that's one of the big advantages is that from an operating cost perspective, as well as a CapEx perspective, they're much lower cost. And that's one of the things that really helps drive the economics of this project is, the costs to run them as well as to ultimately build them. The other thing I think it's probably good to talk about is, for this updated PEA, we're working with Lycopodium. Lycopodium for you is probably a household name, but for a number of your listeners, it's probably important to highlight that, as a consultant, they're the gold standard in West Africa and across Africa in terms of the studies that they've done, as well as the projects that they've built. If you look at the last dozen odd projects that Lycopodium has been involved in, they've all been either on time, on budget, ahead of schedule, ahead of budget. So that's one of the things that, also when you look at these numbers, it's important to recognize that these are backed by an engineering firm with a really strong track record in Africa. Lycopodium, for example, is part of the team that's helping expand the Ahafo project in Ghana, Newmont's project. They're putting another $1 billion into that, and Lycopodium's one of the lead engineers on that project. So it's a team that we obviously really enjoyed working with, that obviously, your listeners can have a lot of confidence in the numbers that are presented within this PEA as a result of that.
Perhaps Lycopodium provided some insights in how the next technical report, which I assume would be preliminary feasibility study, might be improved. And one of the line items that I kind of picked up here, Luke, just as a shareholder and being a little nitty gritty, is can you improve your strip ratio, which is now about 2.5 to 1? And also, could those gold recoveries, which is set at 81.8%, is there opportunities for that to be improved, which would also benefit the economics in your next technical report? I mean, is there room in those two areas for improvement, or where would they be?
Yeah, so there's always room for improvement, and we're always striving to improve. I think we've seen a nice improvement from the 2021 PEA in terms of the straight economics, but as well as the significant amount of de-risking that's happened between 2021 and today. We've moved 740,000 ounces into the indicated category. We have done hundreds of bottle roll and column tests on this project. So that 81.8% that you're referring to from a recovery perspective is backed by a huge amount of test work that supports it. When you look at the test work and all the results that we've put out over the last couple of years, we've averaged about 91-92% recoveries within that test work. We did discount that down to 81.8, and we felt, well, again, we don't need to be aggressive from a recovery perspective when we've already got such great economics for the project. So let's save that opportunity for the future. So yes, we think there is an opportunity to add a few more percentage to that recovery as we continue to do additional test work. From a stripping perspective, again, this is a district scale exploration project. All of our deposits remain open along strike and at depth. So as we discover more oxide ounces near surface, obviously the strip ratio goes down as we're bringing, or typically, can't always say it goes down, but typically as you're discovering on surface deposits, the strip ratio will be going down. As you start to dig deeper on these pits, you obviously have wider pits at the top, and that often influences your overall strip ratio. So yes, we think there's an opportunity over time to also improve in those areas as well, as we find more ounces to throw onto the heap.
PEA looks really good, Luke. I mean, I think a lot of people are pleasantly surprised, including myself. I guess, I mean, I wasn't surprised. I felt like this thing was going to be pretty good because I've been a shareholder for such a long time. And so I was happy to see it. Maybe proven right a little bit selfishly, but you know, you and I can have conversations back and forth offline, and I always ask you, Luke, all right, so when does the drill rig come back? When do you hit hard with exploration again and edgy? Are you now that this updated PEA is out, is this the time to return with a bigger drill program?
Yeah, so we're over the next few weeks obviously going to focus on getting out there and talking about the PEA with investors, with investment banks, with corporates. So that's going to be a big part of the focus over the next few weeks. Obviously, the economics of this project really highlight that this is, in our view, a mine. So the next step is to take it towards a PFS. So from a management team perspective, from a board perspective, obviously our major shareholders will all evaluate, you know, the next steps to take this towards a PFS. Part of that will obviously involve drilling. And one of the things that we're never going to lose focus on is obviously the huge district scale exploration that we've got across the project. So balancing those two things is what we've always done and what we'll continue to do to ultimately create value for our shareholders and for all our stakeholders. So that'll be the focus next few months, as well as obviously we're continuing to do a bunch of met test work. You can never do too much met work, even though we feel we're pushing a PFS level met work at this point. We'll continue to do that. We're doing condemnation drilling across the area where the heap leach pad would go. We're doing hydrological test work as well as geotech work on the project. So again, these are all things that may not be really exciting for the market, but they're crucial to take a project towards a production decision. So we've been doing a lot of that work over the last couple of years in the background. That has really been highlighted within this PEA. And, you know, we're continuing to do that work so that we can move towards that next step of getting a PFS wrapped around this project and ultimately taking it into production.
Okay. All right. Luke, thanks so much for your time again. Congratulations on getting this out. It was very highly anticipated, I think, it's very positive. We look forward to catching up with you. We're going to get a little bit more clarification about next steps probably here in the coming weeks, and that's when we'll talk to you next. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Trevor.
That's your update from Nucor Gold, everybody, and their updated PEA from Enchi. They do trade on the Venture with NCAU and on the OTCQX with NCAUF. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.